Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody started saying that.
Gotham would tremble.
Everyone's gonna think you're going nuts.
Hey, Gotham!
They want mass panic.
You ain't seen nothing yet!
The laugh is fabulous. Use that.
And hello and welcome to Gotham Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Jesus Heredia, and tonight we will be talking about this week's episode, which is titled The title is, my computer just went down. Okay. This week's, I believe the title is A Bitter Pill to Swallow, which is Season 9 of Gotham, and it's... It aired this week on November 16th, 2015. We are live right now, so if you want to call in, you could join in on the fun. You could call in at 347-637-3821. Again, that number is 347-637-3821. You could call in and join us on the podcast. I also want to thank the people who are downloading the podcast. Thank you so much for being a loyal subscriber to the podcast. I really hope we're doing justice for you on this Gotham Talk podcast. As we express our feelings and opinions of each week as we watch Gotham, we get together and when we discuss on the episode. Without further ado, let's go to our caller. Let's see, from area code 239, I think I know who this. Hold on, Matt. It's my computer's a little glitchy, so hold on. You should be on pretty soon. Of course, technical issues always occurs here on Blog Talk Radio. So as soon as Matt is on, Matt, it might be a while. Hold on. My computer's really slow right now. There we go. There you are.
Matt from Florida.
Hey, Matt.
What's up?
How's it going,
I'm
sir?
Doing good. Great. It was okay last night. There was some kind
of it wasn't like a step up. It kind of took like a back seat.
Yeah, because I watched Supergirl first, because I kind of was kind of nervous that Supergirl wasn't going to air because of the terrorist attacks.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's been a big news
but it
thing.
Did, thank God. I thought Gotham was okay. I mean, I did like the Riddler and Penguin scenes. Those parts were awesome.
Right. I think those scenes are the ones that are going to stand out. You know, the scenes from Edward Nygma and Cobblepot.
And I didn't buy the whole villain stuff in the episode. But Mingo, that guy was kind of weird. The guy with the
cannibalism and very graphic scenes with him too, right? He has him eating the ear and then him
he's
biting the
like
police officer at the end, killing her.
It was kind of like a vampire almost.
It was very weird. It was more like Silence of the Lambs.
Yep, pretty much. It keeps getting very dark in there.
I
kind of want to see more Batman villains come in, like Two-Face, Mr. Freeze, Bane. They keep throwing in
I'm sure they're coming. I'm sure they're saving them all for the very end of the season.
True.
All right, let's see who else is on the line with you, Matt, from air code 432. Who is this?
Hi, it's Karina. I'm Texas.
Hi, Karina. Welcome back to Gotham Talk.
Hi.
Did you watch this week's episode of bitter pill to swallow?
Yeah, I watched it this morning on Hulu.
So what'd you think? Pretty graphic, right? Compared to the other DC shows out there?
Yeah, it is. For DC.
Yeah.
I'm really wanting to compare it to The Walking Dead because it's the other show I watch, but totally different subject. But I really enjoyed the whole standoff in Barbara's apartment. I guess
that was cool. You had that contrast with the contrast of Edward Nygma, the Penguin, and it was a good balance, right? I like going back and forth.
Yeah, and I gotta say, how come it's always the hottest people on the show that are always the craziest? Like, you have Barbara, and now you have the Flamingo. Like, why?
Because it's television. People want to see good-looking people do bad things. That's my guess.
I guess.
All right, well, thank you for calling in again. We have another caller from Aircode 469. Who is this?
Hey, Chris from Kendo. What up?
Hey, Chris from Kendo.
Chris.
How's it going, sir?
Great, great, great.
Did you watch Gotham?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
it was
surprise,
awesome.
Surprise. And tell us how you thought of it.
I loved it. I agree with you guys. What you guys talk about Penguin and Nygma. That was
I think those were my favorite scenes. And then second would be the shootout, because that was awesome at the penthouse.
Yeah. I really like how they actually kind of getting each other into being the full evil. You know, how Nygma helped Penguin. You know, he was already giving up and everything. And it's just like, wow, yeah. It was great.
Yes, very intense scenes. If you recall the scenes in the shootout, as Karina pointed out, one of her favorite scenes.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. It looked like they were stuck in a hard place where every time someone came to help them. And now tell me this. If the chief of police is in the shootout, you're telling me you're only going to send four officers to as backup? I don't understand
that. That part
was someone explain it to me?
It's TV.
This is what I'm asking. Was there another event that was happening that's where the majority of the police were? Or maybe I missed it. Like, why did they only send, like, four cops to help do as a backup?
I think that's what he called in.
So he's in a shootout. He says, only send four guys. Doesn't make sense.
I guess he thought he was unstoppable or something. Who knows? He's probably
What about you, Matt? Did I miss something or
no?
What do you think
about
that four officer backup?
That was so weird. They only have four cops because my brother is a cop and he probably has always lots of backup with him because he fights crime
when the
like
chief
almost
goes,
every single night. My brother, Sean, he's actually on the task force, and he probably always has a bunch of backup when he goes after. He's probably after right now, and he's probably has a whole bunch of backup right then.
Yeah, I just thought that was really weird, because when Gordon says, he wiped out our backup, I'm like, well, how many guys were there? I'm like, one guy takes out the whole backup?
That was
kind of
weird.
That was a
crazy scene there. And then when captain there got shot there, man, that was a crazy scene. And then
it was a great shootout.
Okay, Gordon, you can go dark whenever you want to. I mean, I was hoping that Barbara would be finally just dead, and she's just in a coma. I think she's going to come back as some crazy villain.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely saving her for a rainy day. That's for sure. All right. I'm going to read the quick synopsis for tonight's episode that we're talking about just so you guys could have a little quick recap. Stop me whenever you want if you want to discuss a certain scene, and then we'll go from there. All right. Tabitha goes to an underground killer agency. Oh, okay, I wanted to talk about this one. And pays to have Jim Gordon assassinated. Who is that lady? Karina, do you have any thoughts of who that lady is?
No, I don't.
At first I'm like, is Susan Sarandon in this show now? Because it totally looked like her. So you have no...
Well, I thought at first.
No, we have no idea who that lady is. I've never played her before.
First I thought it was maybe Atwell from Captain America, the first Avenger. But I'm sure it's not. I have no idea who it was. But she was very weird on the show.
Yeah, we're going to soon find out more about this new villain that's in the horizon. Kind of like a Fish Mooney, you know, a female in charge of a mob gang. All right, so here we go. Bruce tries to get information about his parents' killer from Silver, but is stopped by Alfred, who orders Silver to stay away from Bruce. When Bruce tries to sneak out, he is stopped by Selina, who claims that she has evidence that Silver is not who she claims to be. Gordon and Barnes investigate Thiel's condo for evidence. The killers arrive. However, Gordon and Barnes manage to fend them off. All right, now the scene where Gordon and the first assassinator, you know, in the elevator, that was a really cool scene because remember he says when Gordon walks in, he presses the penthouse, of course. And then when the guy with glasses shows up, he says, 56, please, and then he presses 56. And then they start fighting, of course. So then when the elevator arrives at 456, it opens, and you see them, like, wrestling, and then it closes back up. That was awesome. I like that scene.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of that elevator scene? Let's go to you, Karina.
I said, I like how they're playing that elevator music.
Yeah. I totally chuckled when I watched that scene. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I like that scene. It was cool. It was one of those classic scenes where you see, you know, movies and everything. They're just like, he's about to get killed in the elevator, you know?
I can just imagine
music.
You're waiting for the elevator and then the doors open and you see them wrestling and you're like, okay, I'm closing this door.
Yeah.
What about you,
Matt?
The elevator scene.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool and scary scene. I mean, that guy
very
was scary. Pretty
scary.
The way when Gordon was trying to attack that guy and that guy attacked Gordon and you see Gordon all bloody. But I think it's
guys, we knew something was up when that guy came in right after Gordon, right?
Yeah. Some people
we knew that guy was a
complete psycho.
Totally psycho. Did he have a Easter egg name? Did that killer
have
a name that might be related to the comics? No idea.
Just only the Riddler and Penguin to me.
Yeah, so far, yeah. All right, cool. Let me continue. Let's see. Gordon and Barnes investigate police reinforcements arrive but are eliminated by another hired killer named Eduardo Flamingo. We just talked about that, how Eduardo Flamingo just wiped out the backup. but then again, you know, if we were reading this in a comic, we would believe that too, right?
Yep.
All right, Gordon is able to arrest Flamingo, but not before Flamingo kills another officer. Meanwhile, Edward Nigma pursues Oswald Cobblepot to move on from his death of his mother, and both of them kill one of Thiel's kidnapped henchmen in celebration. The religious sect of the Gallivan family arrives in Gotham City. All right, guys, explain the ending because I was so far off. I know they are, you know, a part of the Gallivan family, but what are they going to do? Why are they walking around with robes? I mean, it would make sense if they were all like Sith Lords or Jedi Knights, you know, like we're going to take over the city with our lightsabers. But what do you think? How do you think they're going to take over the city? Let's go to you, Matt.
I have no idea how they're going to do it. The Gallivan says they do want to kill Bruce Wayne, but I have no idea, because we know Bruce is going to become Batman. So,
does that mean they're going straight to the Wayne Manor?
Probably so, but what if Alfred dies? What if goes off to Star City? How crazy would it be if they end up about to kill Bruce and Arrow comes in? It could be Roy that saves him. How crazy would that be if Roy saves him? Because
yeah.
Roy is no longer on Team Arrow, and Roy could be out there in Gotham somewhere.
Yeah. All right, what about you, Karina? How do you think the Galliman family is going to take over Gotham?
I have no idea. Just like Matt said, you know, they're planning to kill Batman, but also Galliman said everything's in place. But what's in place, exactly?
Yeah,
meaning,
he keeps saying that, yeah.
What does, because also what Gordon finds in Barbara's, you know, house, you know, that mounting, does that tie in with the Galvin family, or?
What was that thing that he found in the wall?
I thought it was like a monk monastery thing, he said, I think. I don't remember. Can't recall.
I have to go back on that, because that's a big clue right there. Because remember, he's like, I found something.
Yeah, right when they were about to leave. So.
Yeah, right about when they were about to leave. Let's go to you, Chris. Your thoughts on the religious sect of the Galavan family.
Like,
is it getting a little kooky?
Yeah, it is, and I don't know how they're going to take over now, but those guys came over, and we're going to find out, yeah. I don't know.
Poor security officer. He really got the heat.
I know. Like, when you see that,
yeah, that was
you are by yourself, and you see that many people, and you're, oh, hey,
yeah.
Why you got,
like, poor guy.
Like,
I mean, I think one knife will do.
Yeah, they're all entering Gotham for a stroll in the park. I mean, for a walk in the park. They just waltz into Gotham, and they go, hey, buddy, how you doing? And then they go, oh, okay, you're dead.
Yeah, and they just walk away.
Okay,
just leave
what
him out
go
there.
First to kill Wayne Manor, or like,
yeah.
Or they're going to go.
What do you think they would
Tom
just drop
Galavan.
The body in the ocean? They were at the docks.
Yeah,
they just
probably
left
so.
There. That's so weird. All right, cool. So let's go to our favorite scenes. I know we've already mentioned some of them. I want to reiterate mine while you think of yours. The scenes between Edward Nygma and Oswald Cobblepot. It's great to see the two. Villains come together, and as Edward Nygma says, it was fate, as he tries to learn from Oswald and his maniacal ways of how to deal with himself in Gotham, and giving Oswald a fresh new light as to now he has to move on beyond his mother's death and be the leader he should be in Gotham. I wonder what episode the father's going to show up, because if you guys remember a while ago they were announcing that Paul Reubens, who played the Penguin's father in Batman Returns, he played him there, so there was rumors that he was casted as the Penguin's father and soon to be on the show. I wonder how soon that will be, but I guess once he comes back in the picture, Oswald Cobblepot will definitely have a flashback of course, his mother again and his father and him reunited. And what happened, what happened? Why did the father leave and all this and that? So, you know, there's going to be a big Penguin episode coming soon. So that was my favorite scene. Let's go to you, Chris. Give us your favorite scene of this week's episode, A Bitter Pill to Swallow.
I like when Ed Nygma decided to stand out to a Penguin and be like, a man with nothing to love, a man cannot be bargained with. A man who cannot be, a man who got freedom, a man can do anything he wants. That was really cool. That really woke up Penguin. You know, I mean, it's true. I think that was one of my big favorite, you know, on the episode, that part. Do you remember when Penguin and Nygma?
Oh, yeah, totally.
All right.
No, that definitely was a good scene. All right, cool. Thank you for sharing. Let's go to you, Karina. What was your favorite scene, and tell us why?
My favorite scene from the show is where Enigma, the same, where Enigma's motivational speech to Penguin. He's like, you're a free mass. Do whatever you please. Let's go on a kill spree together.
Yeah, and I love how sometimes he would throw in a riddle or two during the conversation.
Yeah.
And Penguin would get it automatically.
And you notice he only wore the green sweater in those scenes? Did anybody catch that?
No,
but yeah, now I remember.
Go back. He's wearing a green sweater the whole time. I'm like, just put a freaking question mark on there.
Well, I noticed if you look outside the window from his room, you see the neon green.
The what?
The neon green from outside the window.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I like that, too.
And then what scene was it? There was a scene outside. I want to say it was at the very beginning. There was a scene outside. What was going on? It was the scene where Galavan's sister was walking in, like, the alleyways. If you notice, there's one shot where there's a Joker, like, graffiti on the wall, and it said, ha, 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 just exactly the way the Joker would write it, with the big smile.
Yes.
So did anyone catch that?
No.
Yeah, I saw that in review.
Yeah, go back to the beginning of the episode when she's walking around before she gets to the, you know, to give the assassination orders. Right before, you remember how she enters that bar and the guy goes, oh, pretty early for that drink, huh? Right before that, you'll see, like, look at all the graffiti, and I think the ha-ha-ha is in red, so it definitely stands out.
Okay.
Pretty cool to have a Joker Easter egg there. All right, let's go to you, Matt, from Florida. Give us your favorite scene and tell us why.
I'd say I did love all the Riddler and Penguin moments. And, like, you could tell how freaked out the Penguin was at the Riddler.
I mean,
the Penguin
like, who is this
scared
guy?
Out. He, like, who is this guy? I mean, like, every moment of the scenes with Penguin and Riddler was just insane. He is just full-on Riddler now. It was just so great seeing those two work together. The guy who plays him, man, is just so good. I mean, Gotham truly has
really
just been such a great show to do everything on the villains.
What's funny is that I believe, I have to double-check because, you know, how people sometimes unfollow. For a while, I believe the actor that was playing Edward Nygma was following this on Gotham Talk. So you never know. We might have him on the show someday.
That'll be sweet.
That'll be kind of cool. The Riddler comes to Gotham Talk.
God.
That would be great.
I hope you
well, if, let's pretend
that
let's pretend the actor was on the show. What questions would you ask him? And I want to hear why you would ask the actor this question. Let's go start with you, Chris. If the actor that plays Edward Nygma was here, what would you ask him? Like, if you had one question to ask him, what would you ask him? Chris? He's not there. Okay. Karina, let's go to you. What one question you would ask the actor playing the Riddler?
One memory. And please don't kill me at the same time.
Right?
No. I don't know. There's something about him.
Oh, of course, yeah. There's definitely different layers of that character, too.
Yeah. But I really wouldn't know what to ask him besides, will you marry me?
There you go. All right, we have one proposal. What about you, Matt? What one question you would ask the actor that plays Edward Nygma?
I really don't know. I'd say, do you think of your own riddles on the show, or I don't know. Are you going to come up with your? Are you going to get your green shirt, or are you going to get your?
Well, he's wearing a green sweater already.
Yeah.
The actor's name
hat?
Is Corey Michael Smith.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
is
that's his real name,
and please don't make him look like Jim Carrey's version of the Riddler. But the all-time good actor to voice the Riddler is Smallville's Lionel Luthor, John Glover.
There you go. All right, cool. So, yes, Corey Michael Smith plays Edward Nygma. Hopefully one day we'll get him on the show and have him discuss his role as Riddler. I would ask him, how long does it take to get in his character, like to get into the Riddler's head? Because the way he plays it, it's like it's just coming out naturally. It's not like,
the
actor had to memorize the lines, and then now he has to deliver the lines. No, it just seems like it just comes out naturally. And Matt, you even mentioned, does he come up with the riddles himself? Obviously not, because there's writers on the show. But it just feels like it's so natural, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good. Are we doing...
Yeah, really good.
Supergirl talk next?
Yep, that's it. Supergirl is on next as we talk about that episode. Well, let's wrap up Gotham. We have 5 more minutes on this show. I want to open the floor to you guys. Anything we haven't touched on or anything regarding Gotham? Now is the time. Let's start with you, Matt.
I just have to say, like, I mean, I know the show is all about young Bruce Wayne, Jim Gordon, but I think right now it's been focusing on the Riddler.
Yeah, it kind of made me feel like I didn't like Bruce in this episode. He was kind of whiny, and Alfred, of course, is just trying to help him out. But he, of course, is the adolescent Bruce Wayne where, you know, he doesn't want to hear adults telling him what to do. But I don't know, this episode, I kind of didn't like Bruce in this one.
Well, me neither, not that well.
Well, at the same time, you have to look at the point of view of Bruce Wayne being the age that he is. He's just a kid
who is supposed
to be grown up a lot according to what he was going through, you know what I mean? And having the money and the company and everything, that's kind of making him a little bit tougher and a little bit, like, bossy, you know, like the way, hey, this is my house, you cannot tell me what to do, whenever he was selling up, you know?
Yep.
He got the right to do that, to say that. But at the same time, Alfred, he is his guardian, no matter what.
Yeah, he's looking
you
out for the best of him.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that he's there employed and everything, but I don't think Alfred has seen himself as being employed by Wayne anymore. He's, you know, he's the dad now, you know? So he has to actually act that way. And Bruce, when he's still young, he has to deal with all this going on and finding the killer, everybody wanting the company, you know what I mean? So,
No, I agree. Yeah.
And
no, that's a good perspective to bring,
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Matt, anything else? All right, Matt, it's gone. All right,
gone.
Chris, the floor is yours.
I like that. I like that. They're more exploring also about Jim Gunn, about his role, about what he has to go through. You know, because we know him, he's already old, he's already...
Every week he gets beat up so much.
Yeah, so it's good that they show how he got tough, how he got wise, how he's getting...
Literally.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm done now.
All right, Karina, let's go to you. Anything Gotham?
Do you think Leah's more, say, jealous, or do you think she's concerned for Gordon's safety because of how crazy Barbara is?
That's a good question. What do you think, Chris?
No, I don't think it's it. Unlikely. I don't think it's being jealous. I think she's very smart and she looks things in a psychology way. And I think she's really good for Jim because she is telling Jim how it is. You know, she's not beating around the bush. I think it's really good for Jim. And I don't think it's jealousy. It's just sometimes she does not know what Jim is going to do, like the way Jim went and kissed Barbara last week, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't know he was going to do that. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't think it's jealousy. I think it's more of I'm calling you out. You know, I am telling you like it is, and you have to know, like, this is what you're doing. You cannot cross the line, or I can see the dog in you, but you have to control the dog and things like that. So I don't think it's yellow face.
Yes.
Well,
okay,
on
great.
Even on this episode, she's like, oh, you went to go see her? And he's like, well, yeah, she's probably a witness to this. So I'm just
right.
Like, is she jealous or are you just concerned?
I think she's jealous first and then concerned to back up the jealousy. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I just want to know if she's jealous.
At the same time, she's a girlfriend, you know. And
she's girlfriend first.
She needs to know that she's not losing Jim. But at the same time, what I think she's very secure, and she knows what she and Jim have, you know, and it's an honest relationship, you know. And even Barbara was surprised because last week, she was asking Lee if he knew that Jim killed somebody to get where he is at, you know what I mean? And she was like, yeah, I knew it, you know what I mean? So she's a girlfriend, so she needs to know what's going on. Like, why are you
all right,
me, like,
Chris.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you, sir. We're about to wrap up the show here. I just want to read you a quick, since we're talking heavily on Edward Nygma, the actor that portrays him, Corey Michael Smith. In May of 2014, he was promoted as a series regular, which, you know, obviously, as you know now, he's on the show more often. He was quoted, "What I love about the character's history is how diverse it is," says Smith. "When I was auditioning for Gotham, I got a handful of comics from different decades, so I had a perspective. It's been around for 75 years, which is a long time. I wanted to see an evolution of the comics and of the character, going from this quiet, innocent, well-intentioned, joyful person to starting to find this other part of him that he didn't know he had. He's a person who's constantly abused and is out of anger and exhaustion. And then realizing that when you start taking control of situations like that, you can gain power that way. It'll be something that he can start to enjoy." So that's pretty much where he's going, right? The character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's realizing, wow, this is fun, killing people.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I like
the birth and
like
the rise of the villains as Gotham continues. All right, I want to thank Matt from Florida, Karina, and also Chris from Candor for calling in. We'll be back next week. Karina, give us a shout-out. Any way you want to promote your Twitter or just anything you want to say to the audience, because people are listening.
Well, thanks for putting on pressure, but okay. People call in. Just come on.
Tell them how easy it was to call in.
It's really easy. You just dial the number and he answers.
And start talking away.
Yeah.
And do you need to be an expert on Gotham to be on the show?
Obviously not, because I am not an expert.
Nope. Exactly. Neither am I. I never said I was, and I'm just a fan like everybody else. Thank you, Karina, for calling in. Chris from Candor.
Hey, I am done. I'm not the person who do not like to beg. So I'm done begging people to call in. You don't have to call in. Who cares about you? But
don't make Chris beg.
It's very easy to call in. I enjoy. I love being here, talking to other people like me who love watching the show. And,
Chris calls in even when we don't have a show. He'll just call in.
Yeah. I like having somebody just to talk about what I just watched. You know, sometimes we don't have
isn't it great
well,
just to vent?
Yeah, so it's like, I have friends, but most of them, we don't talk about this stuff. So
no,
I love calling
neither
here.
Do I.
And,
neither do I.
Yeah, right? And so I like calling and talk to people who understand what I'm talking about. So
I agree.
It was a
great
episode. I love being here, so thank you.
All right. With that note, Chris, I think we're going to leave on the high note. Thank you for listening to Gotham Talk. And join us on Twitter, all Gotham Talk, all one word. And on Facebook, we have a Gotham Talk podcast tapes there, so you could follow us there. All right, guys. Have a good night.
You too.